Hello, I'm Keith Parent, and welcome to the best of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. Before we get to today's archive program, the ABCs, that's the Australian Broadcasting Corporation's Middle East camera operator, Aaron Hollett, is heading home after 6 years abroad. It's been an epic assignment. India, Yemen, Iraq, Iran, Syria, Gaza. And after each trip back home to the, well, the craziness of the traffic of Beirut, he's framed countless unforgettable images of death, agony, joy. And the ABC's correspondent, Adam Harvey, spoke to Aaron on his final day in the Middle East.
So, in a normal correspondence report, you normally hear from, surprise, surprise, the correspondent. But this week I wanted to do something a bit different because it's the final week in Beirut for cameraman Aaron Hollett, who's been in the Middle East for 3 years, and before that he was in India for 3 years. Aaron, how are you feeling about going home?
Well, the detour is having a baby, which is gives me something to do. So it's lessened the blow. But I don't think anyone who, or most people who do these posting, don't really want to leave at the end because they enjoy it. It's quite a different lifestyle. It's a different, you get to do exciting things most weeks, and you know you're not standing outside the court in Parramatta.
It's been an incredibly successful stint for you. You've capped it off by not only getting the letters ACS after your name, but you've also won a Walkley Award for best camera work for some of your work in the Middle East. So the Walkley Award was for your camera work in Raqqa, in Syria. What was that about?
That was for our Four Corners, Matt Brown and my Four Corners story in Raqqa called City of Ghosts. We went into Raqqa it was a few weeks after they'd been pushed out, ISIS had been just pushed out, and that was their main city. Their biggest concentration of ISIS people were in that city, and it was the capital of ISIS in a sense.
So it looked terrifying on the Four Corners doco. What was it like having to work in there?
Oh, it was. I've been to plenty of war zones, and you know, I saw a fair bit of carnage from airstrikes and artillery in Gaza, but this was next level. The Americans with the Kurds hadn't gone in there and fought hand. They just stood back, miles back, and just used artillery and airstrikes, which causes a mass amount of destruction. So, I mean, the people living there, most of them had no homes. Winter was coming. It was quite cold when we were there, but it was totally destroyed. And the scary thing about being there was that every house was booby-trapped, in a sense. There would be a grenade in your sugar jar. There'd be one under your lounge, one in your fridge. You come back, you know, to see if your house is still there, and, oh, well, your house is actually there. Open the fridge, boom, it kills you. They booby-trapped everything because maybe even every few hours you hear a boom, which is someone tripping a tripwire on a booby-trap and someone's heading to hospital or they're dead. One of the scariest things in Raqqa was knowing that there were bombs everywhere, and so you were very conscious of where you stepped. I mean, always in war zones you watch where you step, but in Raqqa everywhere you went there were bombs. There's little trip wires and you step on cables, crushed cables that were there. So that was the scary thing, and I still find myself walking down the street and worrying where I step, you know. I don't just not step on a crack.
That's a sensible approach in Beirut. If the dog poo doesn't get you, it'll be the motorcyclist riding up the wrong side of the pavement if you're not looking where you're going.
The open manhole, yes.
Do you remember your first war zone?
Well, yes, quite vividly. I mean, I was sent from India in 2014 to Jerusalem, stayed there one night, and then headed into Gaza with Matt Brown. It was my first taste of conflict. It was pretty hardcore. They were dropping a massive amount of bombs from aircraft on houses. It was all night. It was boom, 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 boom. There was a massive explosion next to our hotel one morning, and it almost rolled me out of bed. I rocked in the bed, and I was sleeping with my flak jackets on around me at that stage, because there was so many bombs going off. I was worried that they were going to hit us. That the Israelis had, we notified the Australian embassy where we were, but they just said, yes, we know you're there, we know you're the ABC, we know there are other journalists there, but if Hamas fires a rocket out of that building, we will engage. So no one was safe, so we were still stressed about that. But Just hearing that explosion next to me, which I did get a brilliant shot of it, actually, but I got a couple of shots of they were bombing right next to our building, but it blew the windows in. It was pretty heavy. And
extraordinary footage. You can see the bomb blast, the orange glow just fill the screen, and then just a few seconds after that, you see all the rockets start to launch in.
There were some children that were blown up on the beach, which was horrific, and we did a story for 7:30 on that. And I remember we took the father and the other son back to the area where they were hit, and they were so scared. They had just the slightest noise, and they grabbed each other, and they were the fear in their eyes and the sadness of the father not being able to protect his two sons that were killed by a helicopter gunship. But anyway,
how does all this affect you?
I think over the years, just like ambos or fires, you realise that the world is in many ways not the nicest place, and bad things happen to people. That's the only way I can justify it. I don't find myself getting too upset. I do remember these things and strongly, and sometimes they come back to me. I think about them, and I think about a lot of the people that we've interviewed over the years and where they are and what they're doing and whether they're still alive. But I'm lucky enough that I haven't landed in a heap like other people may have. It doesn't mean I'm any stronger than them. Human beings' brains aren't supposed to see day after day of horrible things. That's just not, it's not very good for someone's mind.
So how do you cope with all of this? What do you do here in this this urban jungle that is Beirut to kind of give your mind a break from the things you see when you're on assignment?
I used to go surfing as much as I could here. What else do I do here?
Well, I know what you do. The little known fact about Aaron Hollett is he is a master chef. So when I come over to work in the office, which is in your spare bedroom, there's often a gourmet meal prepared for my lunch.
Yeah, that does keep me. I like making plenty of food, and I'm always every few days got a stock on the boil. Cooking and entertaining, having people over. It's I really enjoy having friends over for dinner.
One of the things that I was wondering was, what do you think makes a good journo cameraman team?
A good team should have comedy. I think that's number one. You should be able to laugh. Yeah, I think also if you have, once in a while you have a bit of an argument. But they're short-lived, and that's how it has to be. We're all frustrated. We're in the middle of the wars. I'm getting shot at, and someone says, "Oh, this is not right," and the auto's stuffing up, and didn't press the button or something, whatever. And there's a bit of a quick sort of, "Oh, what are you doing?" But it lasts all of 2 minutes, and then it's done. You can't hold a grudge or stay angry at someone, because you've just got to get on with it, and you've got to shoot, get in, get out quick, and get it done. And then go back and have dinner together. And you have breakfast together, lunch together, dinner together. You sleep in the same bed sometimes, in a war zone, you're sleeping next to each other. You're snoring.
We all watch your pictures every night, and without camera operators, obviously, there'd be no TV stories. But do you think that you're the forgotten partner?
Yeah, we're always the... We stumbled upon this, or we found this person, we interviewed this person. We're the other person in the we, besides the fixer and, a producer. It's often the camera person and the journo. I'm always the we.
I
forgotten we.
The forgotten we. You're not forgotten here. I remember one of the things that camera operators and photographers really hate, and it was pointed out to me by, I think it was Bobby Pierce, the great Herald photographer when I was a cadet there, was, I think I might have introduced him to somebody as my photographer.
my cameraman here, yeah.
Is that the worst thing that a journalist can say? I think my cameraman?
I think junior journalists do that quite often, but they learn pretty quickly not to call them my cameraman. I'll bring my cameraman over here, yes. You'd be radio without us.
That was certainly a fascinating story. Well, we now go to our archives for the Best of Media Network Plus. This program was originally broadcast on the 14th of January, 2012. And by the way, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio, heard around the world on the World Radio Network, Sirius XM in North America, and also on great partner stations everywhere. Now, over the last 2 years, we have seen a lot of cuts happen in the world of international broadcasting. Radio Sweden is long gone off shortwave. Czech radio, also gone. And others are cutting back on frequencies. It's a little strange that these decisions are being taken because there are more receivers on the market than there ever was. Of course, last year there was the brand new Sanjin ATS-909X that came out that we talked about. But the largest manufacturer of shortwave receivers is a company called Texan. Now, many of their receivers are even sold under the Eaton name in the United States. But Texan also sells the same radios under their own brand. When I say they are the biggest, they are huge. They are humongous. If I can think of another word, it would be that. They are absolutely massive. They have so many products, and they keep coming out with new ones all the time. This year, 2012, Texan will be coming out with a whole lot of new shortwave receivers. Many of them. Some of them are new designs. Some of them are replacements for other radios that they've already had out. One of them that they've had out for a while is the PL390. It's a nice little radio, has two speakers, and it's an excellent radio to travel with because you can put it in a suitcase or even in your hand luggage. It's very, very small. The replacement for this receiver is the PL398BT. Yes, the Texan PL398BT. It looks just like the PL390. Almost the same. Really, it almost looks just identical. So you're saying to yourself, well, if it looks identical, why give it a different number? And what is the BT about? Well, I decided to get one of these receivers from Texan. And I have to say, I am really amazed with it. I am absolutely amazed. First of all, the radio has a temperature. Right, it has a thermometer. You can tell what the temperature is if you need to know that. Okay? The second thing that I find very useful on it. Now, a lot of radios have a signal meter showing the signal strength. This one shows it in numbers. It shows the signal-to-noise ratio and the audio quality. And it's just by hitting one button and you can switch back and forth on the display or leave it stable. The other nice thing about it, which we're seeing now a lot in many shortwave receivers, including Sanjin, is that you can charge nickel metal hydride batteries inside the radio. You don't have to take the batteries out anymore. You can just leave them in and plug it in and charge it. Now, this radio doesn't come with an adapter. No, there's no adapter at all. So you're saying to yourself, well, wait a minute. How do you charge the batteries? Is it done by solar power? No, there's no solar panel. Is it done by wind power? No, there's no big turbine. It comes with a USB cable, which you can connect to your computer and charge the batteries that way. Now, you're saying to yourself, well, what if I don't have enough ports on my computer? Can I buy a USB adapter and use that by plugging it into the wall and charging it? Yes, you can. You can do that as well. So you have many different choices. So it comes with three nickel metal hydride batteries that you can easily charge with the USB port on your computer. Really lovely option. The next thing that is amazing about this radio is it really incorporates new technology. When I mean new technology, I'm talking about the smartphone devices that are so around us. Things like the iPhone and other smartphones, the iPad, you can use on this radio. And you're saying to yourself, how is that possible, Keith? Well, BT, at the end of PL398BT, what does BT stand for? BT stands for Bluetooth. Yes, this new radio from Texan has the Bluetooth feature. Which means, if you're traveling, for example, and I'll give you an example right now. Let's say you're going to Indonesia, okay? And you're, let's say, in West Java, somewhere maybe in the countryside. And guess what? Yes, shortwave reception is perfect. There are no tall buildings. There are no high-tension power lines. So picking up broadcast off shortwave is very easy. And let's say you're there for a few days, and then you head to Jakarta, the capital of Indonesia, and you're staying at a very beautiful five-star hotel on the, I don't know, maybe 10th or 11th floor, maybe 42nd floor, who knows? Obviously, the windows don't open, and obviously, because of the surroundings, shortwave reception is going to be, well, bad. That's you can't put it any other way. It's going to be bad. Even if you use a wire antenna that you hang near the windows, it's still going to be bad, right? So if you're in the hotel, it's more than likely you're going to listen to radio probably off your laptop or your iPhone or your iPad. Now, like most smartphone devices and even the iPad, you can listen to it without headphones, but the speaker, it's really small, right? It's really small and doesn't sound too good. Well, if you have this radio, and maybe the day before you were listening to the BBC World Service or the Voice of America on shortwave, and then you're in your five-star hotel and you want to listen to some music online or even watch a DVD off your laptop, but you don't want to wear headphones, you can use this radio as external speakers, and they sound, considering how big they are, they sound pretty decent. They really sound pretty decent. All you need to do is pair up the device with your Bluetooth laptop or smartphone or iPad. And it's very easy to do. On the back of the receiver, there's a button that says Bluetooth and radio. So if you're on radio, you leave it there. If you want to use Bluetooth, you switch it over. Then you open the settings on your Bluetooth device, search for it, and it will come up as PL398BT. You pair it, and that's all you need to do. That's really all you need to do. It works with a distance of about 2 meters from around the smart device or your laptop. And the other nice thing, actually, which I think is really kind of cool, let's say you've paired it with your iPhone, right? And you leave your iPhone maybe on a desk in the hotel or at home. It could be on the table, right? And you're in your working space and you're listening to music and you're writing something or reading something. If you want to change track, if you're listening to something off iTunes, for example, you don't need to do it from your phone. You can do it right from the radio. In the back of the radio, there are three buttons: previous, next, pause, play. And these will control your iTunes and also on your computer and on your iPad as well. Fascinating feature. And let's say you're watching a DVD, right, on your laptop in a hotel somewhere or at home even. And you're watching it in the kitchen, but you don't want to use headphones. Well, you can just use this radio. It is absolutely fantastic. I am really amazed with it. And I have to be honest about Texan for one moment. About 15 years ago, when I got my first Texan radio, I have to tell you, I wasn't impressed. I found that the quality was really poor and reception was dreadful. But that's my own personal opinion. But I have to say, in all honesty, in the last maybe 10 years, the quality of Texan radios has improved dramatically, absolutely dramatically. Like when I have right now the radio in my hand and I'm touching it, and it doesn't feel like a flimsy piece of plastic. It is very well built, and for its size, surprisingly, it's rather heavy. It is rather heavy. So, the Texan PL398BT is a perfect radio if you want to buy somebody who travels a lot a gift, or you just want to have a radio that you can bring on vacation somewhere, or if you go camping. Now, there are some other things that you can also do with it as well. Let's say you have an iPod or another type of MP3 player that doesn't have Bluetooth. You can still use it as external speakers because on the left side of the radio, you have five Four inputs. One for an external FM shortwave antenna, one for earphones, the third one for charging the batteries, the USB port, and then another one for line in. So if you have your iPad and you're just, you know, connected up, you can also listen to it that way. So it's like I said, it's a multi-purpose, taking modern technology and everything that we do to use today and incorporating it into a shortwave receiver. The receiver comes with two settings that you can adjust depending on your region. If you're in North America, you can set it at 10 kilohertz. If you're in Europe and in other parts of the world, you can set it at 9 kilohertz by pressing one button. That's all you need to do. The clock on it, you can either use the 12-hour clock or the 24-hour clock. Setting the time is also extremely easy. It is extremely easy. You can blindfold yourself and probably do it. It is very easy. There are two alarms on it. You can use it as an alarm that will ring an alarm, or you can set it to program your favorite radio station or even music to come on at a certain time. Now, what don't I like about this radio? Because I have been raving about it. There is one thing that I really don't like about it. Only one thing. But it's not really with this radio. It's with other Texan radios as well. And this is something that I really don't like. And I think it's kind of, if I can put it this way, dumb. The radio comes, like I said, with three Texan nickel metal hydride batteries. Sounds great, but they are only 1,000 milliamps each. Which means, after about 3 or 4 days of play, you have to charge the batteries again. Not very good, guys, and I don't understand why you would do that. At least put a minimum 2,000 milliamp batteries inside. But I suppose they put the 1,000 ones because it's probably cheaper. But you can, by the way, replace them with 2,000 or 2,400 milliamp batteries that are also nickel metal hydride and charge them in the receiver as well. So you don't have to use the ones from the Texan. That is really the only thing about this radio that I don't like. Price. Well, depending on which retailer you buy it from, the radio will cost between $60 and $79. There are a lot of retailers in Hong Kong that are selling this, some of them including free shipping. And with the free shipping, it's $69. And they will send you a tracking number. And when I ordered the radio from Hong Kong, it got here 3 days later. And I spoke to somebody in the United States who, when he ordered it from the same retailer that I did, he got it in less than 7 days. So, also the service is very good. And, like I said, excellent little radio, and I'm very, very surprised about it. Okay, that is our review of the brand new Texan PL398BT. And as I said at the beginning of this, Texan is coming out with some brand new receivers this year, and we will be reviewing each and every one of them. So you'll have to stay tuned and find out. And if you want to know more, by the way, about this radio and see what it looks like, go to our website, www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com, and click on PCJ Radio Reviews, and you will see the latest installment of the Media Network Plus video where we review this radio. You're listening to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio. A few months ago on the program, our special guest was Rick O'Shea, who's from Detroit in the United States. Rick and I worked together at China Radio International. Rick used to do the evening slot, Joy FM, that was heard throughout China every night. Now, Rick, for over 20 years, has worked in radio in Taiwan, Hong Kong, and China. He wrote a new book called Radio Chopsticks, and it's just out, and he's back again to give us a little bit of the inside scoop about this fantastic read.
Actually, I've been writing it for years, bits and pieces of it, but I finally got down to writing the whole thing about a year ago. And it's just my radio. It's my story. It's actually not a radio book, but there's a lot of radio in it. But it's about a Detroit suburban guy going through different phases of life. At one point, I was a painter in the street, and then I got into radio, which was audio painting, and then making the book, which is writing with words, actually. And I wrote a movie screenplay that I'm talking to people about, and that's a part of my book. So basically, I just thought this is a good, it's an interesting read, for sure, because so many people have regular lives. And I think when you have an unusual life, it's worth writing about. And there's a section in there that will really appeal to the Chinese. So that's kind of interesting to see what will happen with that. And it deals with a Taiwan writer.
If we're not going to mention the name because we want people to read the book, but does her first name begin with the letter E?
Yeah, it does. Her English name. Many of the Chinese don't know. I can tell you who it is. It doesn't matter because the story's going to get out anyways. Mm-hmm. So when people read about it, they're quite shocked because they didn't know that she had this relationship that went like a period of 10 years. And in the end, it was a romantic story. And in the end, she dies. So actually, she's still one of the most widely read Chinese writers, but she only writes in Chinese. She only wrote in Chinese, but mm-hmm. she died 20 years ago.
But she lived also in Spain, right?
She lived in Spain. She spoke Spanish fluently. She lived. She spoke German.
Yeah, her name. German. Her English name is Echo. And
Echo. Yeah.
One of her famous stories called "The Olive Tree" became a hit for a Taiwan singer by the name of Chi Yu.
Of course, there's an album of Chi Yu. Chi Yu wrote. Well, that's very good. You did your research. Chi Yu did an album with another singer, and they sang songs that Sama wrote.
I have the album,
really?
And
so
we'll take
I.
a listen
Amazing.
To it. It is a fantastic album. And
actually,
just recently, Rick, actually, you might find this interesting. In the city of Taichung, there mm-hmm. was an exhibition of Echo's work, including artifacts that she had in her home and everything. And they set up part of the museum, just mm-hmm. like her apartment was in Taipei.
Mm.
Absolutely fantastic. I mean, here... when I mention that name to Taiwanese, they go, mm-hmm. wow, you know her. Of course I do.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, if you tell them that you know the guy that she was with before she died, they'll be amazed that I actually knew her and knew her for many years. And we were talking marriage.
Hmm.
Hmm. And wow. That's in her words.
And that's all we have time for on this edition of the Best of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. We hope you enjoyed the program. Do let us know if there's a program you want us to go into the archives and locate and bring to you once again. Our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. So on behalf of everyone here at PCJ Radio International, I'm Keith Pelham wishing you well, saying so long, take care. 73 and 88 to the ladies.